even if the amounts that we are absorbing on a daily basis of all of these synthetic chemicals are extremely small, as in parts per million or even parts per billion, my contention is what is unknown and what, unfortunately, evidence is pointing to as a true problem is that all of these chemicals together reinforce each other and create synergies where the impact of two or more chemicals acting together is much more powerful than any one chemical on its own. So when we carry around this body burden of all these synthetic chemicals that we've absorbed from whether it's food additives from China or from our water supply or the air, then we become chemistry experiments, each one of us, and collectively as a people. And the result of this experiment, I contend, is what we see in these rising health statistics that tell a very alarming story. The incidence of all types of cancer, for instance, since 1950, and this is age-adjusted, has increased by over 85%. The fastest-growing rate of cancer for any group of people during this period has been among children. And we can't accuse children of having smoked or partied or worked or stressed themselves into a diseased state. So we need to start looking at why male sperm counts have fallen by 50% in the last few decades. Why have women's tubal pregnancies increased by
50%? Is that worldwide or just here?
That's worldwide in terms of the industrialized world, where statistics are obviously being kept in a much more rigorous manner. But the statistics I've just given you are for the United States.
What if it's a sinister population control plan, Randall? Is that possible? You never know.
Yes, conscious or unconscious. Either way, the effect is the same. Certainly, we're seeing, and this is another key contention of the book, we are seeing the emergence of mutations among all species on the planet, whether it's amphibians or fish, reptiles, birds, and among humans. And again, my contention is that it's from contact with these combinations of synthetic chemicals.
Oh, we're getting, six-legged frogs, two-headed this and that.
Let me give you some examples.
Okay.
Just from this deer season, the deer hunting season of this past winter, I started collecting news stories. Associated Press usually picks up some of the local newspaper stories about anomalies, sort of Fortean phenomena, so to speak. And here are some examples just from this latest deer season. This is from Wisconsin. A group of deer hunters found a young buck that had seven legs. Not only had seven legs, but it had both male and female reproductive organs. One of the State Department of Natural Resources officers in Wisconsin was quoted at the time as saying, and this is a direct quote, "I have never seen anything like this in all the years I've been working as a game warden and being a hunter myself. In more than three decades, this is unique." Well, as it turned out, it wasn't unique for this past hunting season. I collected a number of other stories. Here's one from North Dakota, and these are all in the time frame of November and December of this past year. Here's one from Michigan, North Dakota. A hunter killed a deer with a single shot, examined it, looked like a nice buck. Suddenly he realized that it wasn't a buck. It had no male utilities, he said. It was a female with a very large antler rack. Okay, another story from Minnesota. A few weeks after that, a 10-point antler doe was shot near Robin, Minnesota. And one of the conservation officers who inspected this deer pointed out that he had never seen anything like this in more than three decades of being in the game warden business. I found other stories like this from Arkansas, from Georgia, from all over the country. For some reason, this past winter, we began to see mutations among deer that we had seen as a rarity in the past, but never in the numbers that we saw this past winter. And my contention is that it was from contact with contaminated water where the synthetic chemicals had hormone disruptive effects that produced mutations and reproductive abnormalities.
And that means it's getting to us.
That means if we look around, we start to see where we're surrounded by these sorts of examples. To give you a few more, in the Arctic, polar bears, one in every couple of dozen are being found with hermaphrodite characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
They have both male and female characteristics. The female bears that have been examined in the last year or so have shrunken ovaries. In Midwest states, we're seeing increasing numbers of male waterfowl with both male and female sex organs. In upstate New York, female frogs have been found to have as much testosterone in their bodies as the males.
Bizarre.
In the Great Lakes, mother seagulls are sharing their nests and raising eggs together because their male partners have forgotten how to be a parent. Female dolphins off the southeast U.S. coast have been found to be developing tumors in their reproductive tracts. I could go on and on.